Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. Now, I don't know, people that are listening would have heard this slightly different. We're now no longer called Intuitive Nature Podcast. It's now called the Art of Intuition Podcast. And if you're on the video, you can see the difference. Although just listening to it there, the music might be a bit loud from the talk. But anyway, we're getting there. We're learning as we go. And the reason why this is so significant today is because 12 months ago today, I started the podcast. So we were going for 12 months and we've just changed the rebranding and everything else. So really, really excited about this last 12 months. And because we're celebrating, I wanted to actually do a bit of a run through on what we've presented so far. Not all 52 of them, I can assure you, that would be as boring as anything. But there is a few there, and it's quite funny when I've looked back to see how things have changed since we've started. To start with, the podcasts have got a bit longer, so I want to actually try and bring them back down to closer to the 30-minute mark. And I listened to podcast number 1.0, the very first one, which was all about the intentions of this podcast. And to be honest, we've stayed pretty much in track with what my intentions were originally, which was to be able to give you information about how to develop and trust your intuition, how to connect with it. So we've been doing that. We've had quite a few guests on now, and that was something I didn't even anticipate to start with, and found that that was a lot better for, well, I believe it's a lot better for the listeners. So the first 13 podcasts, actually, I would sit down, it'd probably take me an hour or two, and I'd sit down and I'd type it all out individually, every single bit, exactly how I wanted to say it, what I wanted to say. I wasn't videoing at that stage, so it was just a podcast. I would use my proper microphone, use the headphone, the earphones, and I would do it all. So it was really a lot clearer probably in the audio than it is by recording it this way. But I wanted to take it one step further, and that's why I started doing the videos. But with these ones, it's really funny. I've looked back at number one, 1.1, and it's called What is Intuition? And I had a bit of a read through of it. Oh, my goodness, I must have sounded like a robot. It's so funny. But it's still, the intention was still there. The intention was to give you the information that you needed. So I did that in What is Intuition in 1.1. I must admit, how I've described intuition, how I believe intuition is as I have progressed over this 12 months, because funny enough, when you're verbalizing or when you're talking about it, you start to get different takes on it and a different understanding to it. So with, I don't know, you clarify it, I guess, but I don't know, I'm not really sure, but you're verbalizing it makes it different. So since then, like 12 months ago, what I call intuition, which is still the same, but I just can explain it a little bit better. So intuition is the communication between our spiritual body and our physical body. It's how we communicate. So it's how our spirit can communicate with us, and it does that intuitively through intuition. So it is really all about communication. So that was number one. So didn't quite put it across that way, but that's how it boils down to. Number two is all about the types of intuition, so how we can receive our intuition. So there's the mental thought patterns, there's the emotional ways, there's the physical ways. There's four different elements there that I used to talk about. One was visual too. There's the visual, and that's when we see dreams and things like that. Well, I've tweaked that a little bit too as we've got along, because a lot of that is classed probably more as like an environment or social, because we are starting to see things, and I put it down to seeing things, but the reality was it was more about what was happening socially. Because every day we do get the clock strike, the clock does go at 12:34, which I see all the time, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I don't intentionally look, and it's must be time to look at the clock, but for some reason my feelings, thoughts, my intuition says have a look at the clock, and it's 12:34 when I do it. So, you know, that's more of a connection there socially or externally in that way. So I've tweaked a little bit there as well. I talk about whether intuition can be trusted, and that's in 1.8. Can we trust it? And the reality is, yes, we can trust the information that we're getting. It's just how we interpret that information that we have to be very mindful of. When people sort of go, oh, they don't trust it, it's because of how they're interpreting that information that they're not trusting. It's not the intuition that's wrong. The information and the intuitive messages we're getting is correct. It's just how we interpret it. So when you see, for example, in a dream or, you know, the thought comes to you of a ring, it's a circle, you know, so it could mean marriage. It could be eternal, because it's a cycle, it's a circle, it could be a cycle. So there's lots of different ways we can interpret these messages that we get, whether we get them through the dreams intuitively that way, whether we get them through thought patterns, whether we get that through emotions. You know, sometimes you just sort of feel like I'm going around in a whirlwind, you know, round and around and around, cycling. So there's lots of different ways. So can intuition be trusted? Yes, it can. How do you interpret it? Be mindful of that. So that was that way. But again, it was quite funny to look back on these and sort of go, well, you know, I read them word for word. And in each of them, I wanted to give you an answer for something. So what is intuition? Give you what intuition was. But in all of them, I did a bit of a story about how I've experienced it and how, almost, I suppose, to justify it, just to show you that's how I understood it. So it was quite interesting reading back on that. There was other things. What else was there? How do you use your intuition? There was three basic steps, which is basically the steps of ask, receive, and action. So those were your three basic steps. I think that was in that one. And that's where, look, we'll get intuitive messages all the time. We're getting them all the time. But if you want to get them and get a good understanding, ask first. Ask about, you know, what am I supposed to do with this situation? You know, and ask as you go to bed if you want to. If you go and have a sleep and allow that intuitive message to come through, it can come through in your dreams. It can come through in the morning when you're having a shower. It can come through at different times. But if you ask, you will start to receive this information. And when you receive it, you become more aware of it. And I think that's what's really enjoyable. It's a bit like me going back and looking at the last 12 months and celebrating these last 12 months. I can see where I started, and it's really nice to see it change and watch it grow and watch it develop. And that's what you do when you ask. You receive the information. You get an understanding of it. You start to develop it. You start to get stronger and better at it. And then you can action it. And, again, the action is another step because, again, we get these messages, but how do we receive them? How are we interpreting those messages, and how are we actioning that interpretation? So we've got those little links there we have to be mindful of. So there was that one. In episode 1.11, I talked about religion and spirituality and what the differences were and what the similarities were, because there's a lot of similarities between religion and spirituality. Religion is a lot more compact and controlled, and it's an organization. So it's what I perceive religion to be is the more of the learning, like the school. It's that educational aspect of it, the theory of it. Whereas spirituality is the experience of it. It's the living of it. So we can learn as much as we like, but until we experience it, we may not get the understanding fully. It's like riding a bike. I can tell you exactly how to ride the bike. You know, throw your leg over and pedal real fast and sit and keep balance. But until you actually sit on it and do it yourself and let go, you know, like, well, take your feet off the floor and start riding it, you don't experience it until you've done that. And that's often how I interpret religion and spirituality. They've still got the lovely, strong love as the center, as the base, as the core, but we can interpret them just slightly different. And there is positives and negatives to that too. But have a look at that one. That one's 1.11. I talk about the developing of your intuition, and I talk about, and there's a little fun exercise on how to trust your intuition in 1.13. So they were the first ones, and that section I called my back to basics. So it was real basic understanding of intuition, what it means, you know, how you can work with it. Just, I don't know, I guess I just wanted people to get a bit more of an understanding first and then go a little bit further. So after that, I transferred it over and I called it a podcast more about intuition and spirituality. And I did that because at that particular time, I had a lovely little visitor who was visiting me needed to cross over and go to the light. So it was like I talked about helping this transient being cross over. So that was in that sort of side to it. There's another one too, is about helping tame the monsters under your children's bed, because my little niece was experiencing a lot of issues with monsters under the bed. Now, one thing we have to be really mindful of is not to just say, oh, it's nothing, or pretend there's nothing there. If somebody's feeling an energy like that, then there's something there. Because we can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not real. And it's these energies that we're feeling. So how we can deal with that and how we can help our child tame those monsters. And one way to do that is to try and lose that fear. I know with my niece, she still is very, very tuned in. She's hitting, I think she just got her driver's license. So she's about 18. And I know there's that stage where the child, when they're still at primary school and when they hit high school, they tend to hold everything down in high school. And then often they will restart their spiritual journey again, maybe late in high school or late teens. Sometimes having a baby will bring it on again. But when they're very young, they actually will see a lot, know a lot, and hear a lot, and do a lot. And they're not as controlled in their mannerism as far as, I can't say that, you know, think I'm crazy. They just say it. So if there's monsters under the bed, you can guarantee there's monsters under the bed. They don't necessarily monsters, bad, negative, evil, but they're an energy there and the child is sensing that energy. So be mindful of that. One of the good ways to do that is maybe get a little nightlight or one of those little salt lamps and just pop it under the bed. Turn it on, and pop it under the bed. It just helps them get an understanding that they can see them, because they're feeling it but they're not seeing it, and that's where they get confused. That's why they get frightened. So there's a bit on that. There's a bit about Ouija boards, pendulums and dowsing. I found that really interesting, that side of it, because often we look at those in a negative manner. Like I had a not so good experience with Ouija boards, and so I haven't touched them. And the reason why is because I didn't know what I was doing, like most teenagers. And, of course, you can attract things that you're not supposed to attract or you don't really want to attract. So they're those sort of aspects, but there's a positive aspect to it as well. Now, I love working with pendulums. I think they're great fun. And I'm doing a basic pendulum course. I'm going to do a video course on it, basic video course on it, because I want you to understand exactly what's creating the pendulum to swing, why it's doing that, because it's all about our intuitions, all about how our spirit is communicating forward to us. So it's, you know, lots of lovely things like that. There's another aspect in, 1.17, that's, can intuition predict or tell the future? You can go with that one. And again, it's not about predicting or necessarily telling the future, but it can guide you for sure. It is how you interpret the signs. As people get better at this, and you will find that, because we can all do it, we can all, you know, we're all intuitive, but as people get more aware of it and they get better at it, they can do it, and they get a better understanding of the signs. So, for example, one of the situations that I had with my, when I needed to do a healing, and I've spoken about this before, my palms would go all blotchy, right? And it was, I didn't know. I would have, and in fact, I didn't even realize it until somebody said to me one day, "What's wrong with you?" Because my hands were really, really blotchy. They were just red and white and spotty, and they were quite weird. But I hadn't noticed it before, or I had noticed it, but it never even sort of occurred to me that that was an issue, because it was always there. And it wasn't until they brought it to my attention that I started to look at it. What I discovered it was, and this was over quite a period of time, whenever there was a healing, I needed to do a healing, my hands would go blotchy. Because to start with, when I was working as a healing practitioner, I would do a lot of healing and I'd notice they were blotchy. And I would put that as, okay, I'm healing, that's what they're doing. And I did a form of Reiki. So it was like a vibration energy healing type thing. So it was a form of Reiki, but I would just start to do it. What would happen was, when I'd be at football or somewhere else, the hands would start going blotchy. And I'm thinking, oh, that's strange. Why are they doing it now? I'm not doing a healing. And it was a sign to say I needed to do a healing, because you could guarantee within 10 or 15 minutes of me seeing the blotchy hands, somebody would ask me about healing, and I'd straight away know that they needed a healing. So you started to get more aware of the signs. Now, can you imagine if you're doing card readings and different things like that, you start to get really good at seeing the signs. You start to get really good at reading different things, because you get that information and you don't need a lot of it. You don't need to justify it. You get that information, you get it quickly, and you just let it go. You speak it out, you say it, you do it, and it becomes a lot more natural. It flows really, really easy. So when you've got things like the Ouija boards, which I still haven't got into, I'm still not into that. I don't know why. I'm just not into that. Maybe I've put off before. But I do like the pendulums, and it works in a similar manner, where you're using like micro muscles that your spirit body can adjust and touch and control, or not control, but manipulate or help. So it's really, that was really quite interesting. What else have I done? Ego and intuition, getting the messages right. Now, there is a difference between the ego and the intuition. So ego is coming from the physical aspect. So when it's sort of looking at giving you information, it's based on the physical side of things, whereas intuition is based on the spiritual side of things. So we have those two different elements there. So what one's that? That's in 1.21. So that's, yeah, about the ego and intuition. It just gives you that little bit more of a definition between the two. I can't remember which one it is, which podcast it was, but I did actually talk about the time that I was attacked. Now, I was pack raped, and when this happened, I actually left for my body. I to start with, I was knocked out, tapped on the shoulder, I turned around and was knocked out. I came to being dragged into the back of a car by my hair. And anyway, this was while I was on holiday, so I didn't quite know where I was and what was going on. But anyway, during the attack, I actually left my body. Now, the only reason I talk about the attack, and I swore I would never talk about it unless I could possibly help somebody else with what I went through. So that's the only reason I talk about it. And what I did find out quite a lot of years later, after reading books and everything else, I found out that that was my spirit had left my physical body. And knowing that side of it gave me a lot more clarity and a lot more understanding. That's why I can confidently say to you that intuition is your spirit communicating with your physical, because I have been in both places separately. And I've done that three times. I've left my body three times. So the first time was during a very violent attack, and it was violent, and I was lucky to survive. It's back in there, and I can't remember which story it is. It's a little bit sad and a little bit, you know, in tears and all the rest. But it was before videos, thank God. So knowing that we have this physical and spiritual side of us made it a lot clearer. Now, almost to the day, 12 months after that attack, that I was strangled and they thought I was dead. I'd passed out and I was thrown out of the car. So from that day to almost 12 months to the day, I passed out at work. And this time I had a near-death experience. I actually left my body and I saw myself leave my body. I felt myself, I should say, leave my body. And I had a near-death experience. Now, I think I talk about that in one of the podcasts as well. And I do apologize. I can't remember which one it was again. But sometimes I start talking about them because it just feels like I have this need to talk about them. So sometimes they're not in the right spot, but I just need to talk about them. So I had this near-death experience, which was very, very, although it's completely different to the attack, there was a lot of aspects that were very, very similar, and yet they weren't. During the attack, when I left my body, you actually sever the emotional connection. And I was watching it happen, and there was no emotional feeling to it. It was like, you know, I could see the blood coming from the back of the head from where the hair was pulled out, and I could see the swelling on the side of the face where she was punched. And I still say where she, because I still remember looking down as if it was somebody else. You could see the blood coming out of the side of her mouth, and the bruising around the neck coming through. But you just didn't feel it. You didn't feel it. You didn't feel it physically. You didn't feel it emotionally. It was just happening. So it was really weird. It was really strange. And the near-death experience was different in some aspect, because it was emotional, but it wasn't emotional. Now, I know when we have these really highs, when you're getting really excited and, you know, everything's going well and you know, you're in this real high space or really exciting place, you know it's happening because of what's going on around you, and you also know that that's not going to last forever. When I had this near-death experience, this feeling wasn't as high as what some excitement is, but it was in a higher state that you knew you were never going to come down from. You knew that you were there. You had been lifted to this position, and you knew that's where you were staying. And it was such a good feeling. And yet it wasn't emotion. It was a feeling, but it wasn't an emotion. You couldn't put an emotion to it, but you could put a feeling to it. And it was, yeah, very, very strange. The third time I left my body was done deliberately. I did it myself. Okay, I've told you before, I'm a theory tester. I tested theory. I tested the, what do they call it? Oh, gosh, I can't think of it. Where you leave your body. You know what I mean. Anyway, I tested that theory. I loved it. I loved this idea. So every night I'd go in and it was like, astral traveling, that's what it was called. I want to astral travel tonight. This is what I want to do. I'm going to do it. I've done this before. I wanted to see my aura, did it eventually. I wanted to practice, I theory tested visualization, $85,000 6 months later. It worked. And I've done all these theory testing. I like to test theories. So I tested theories with astral traveling, and I did. But, and this is where it's really strange. As soon as I got excited, because I realized I was astral traveling, because it's different. It's sort of, you've got this, you know, when it's a full moon and you've got that sort of blue hue at night, it's like that. So I have headed down the driveway. I knew I was above the ground, and I was heading down the driveway Superman style, because I couldn't feel the rest of the body. I could only sort of see the head part. And as soon as I did it, I was so excited, straight back into bed, wide awake. So there's something about the emotions within this aspect that can either bring it forward or drop it back down again. So you have to be very aware. So if you want to practice your astral travel, don't get too excited about it. But try and stop yourself from not being too excited about it, because it is. It's really exciting. It's such a lovely feeling. It really is. It's one step past your imagination. It's not your imagination. You know it's not your imagination, and yet it's just glorious. It's a glorious feeling. So practice that. You can do that. I think I got that through a book. Now, it wasn't until I read that book that I realized what had happened with my the near-death experience. It wasn't until I read a book about near-death experience that I realized that's what it was. I had no idea what would happen, but I could tell you. And then after reading this book and hearing other people's experiences, it made total sense. The pack rape was different. It was again different, but I haven't talked much about that side of it. The trouble with talking that, somebody has asked me to go in as a co-author for a book, and I've already written a book. There it is there. Intuitive Flowers, Empowering Your Emotional Goals. But this was book about sexual abuse and that sort of thing. But when I read about it, the women that were there were women that wanted to either talk to their attackers or they needed to clarify something. And it's really hard to talk about such a horrendous experience and yet have such a positive flick to it. You know, like the experience itself was absolutely horrendous. And there's times there when I'm in tears talking about it. And then there's other times where you sort of go, but you know what? If I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have understood exactly what I'm going through. So there's really a flick side to it. And that's what we need to be. I sometimes struggle with that, talking as a negative all the time, when I've got this lovely positive spin to it. And that's what I'm sitting with, my positive spin, because that's really what I've got. There's another area in 1.25. Look, I was going through a lot of 1.26 time for courage, 1.25 relying on your intuitive on your intuition during a crisis. Now, I was going through a few problems here where we had a young man that was on prescription drugs, and I talked about what we were experiencing as a family, and again, I spoke about it in the context of helping others or letting others know that, you know, we all go through it. It doesn't matter who we are. We can all go through these, and it allowed me to give other people a little bit more leeway when it came to the situations that they were going through, because so often we sort of hear about situations and you go, oh, yeah, you know, okay, and it must be hard, and you sort of tend to brush it off. When you're experiencing it yourself, it's like, wow, it's a lot different to what you hear about, you know. That was an incident there that we were going through. The young man's actually come really good. He has gone through his own rehab, and he's been clean for quite a bit of time now. So he's going really good. That's really positive. We did think he was going to fall down. You know, you fall down sometimes. But lucky enough for him and for his family, he's going along really well. So we're really pleased with that. So that was really nice. But in 1.25 and 1.26, again, there's a few tears. I do apologise. It's life. It's how to deal with those sort of things and how we can cope with them. So it was about 1.30 when I had the first interview, and that was with lovely Sally. Now, this was all new, and this is when we started doing the videos, because I wanted to be able to incorporate the people that were coming onto the show. And since then, we've talked about feng shui. We've talked about creating your own energy. Rhea Pauly, she did some channeling. So we talked about channeling, which was really interesting. Christine Alexandria, she talked about the angels. That was lovely too, because angels was where I first started, when I first started doing my spirituality. Because I hadn't really had a religious background, but I went to Sunday school for nearly 3 months. That was my religious background. I went to Sunday school for about 3 months. It's really funny. But for those 3 months or whatever it was, it might have been 6 months, I can't remember. I was in primary school. There was a couple of prayers that I remembered. The Lord's Prayer was one, and there was a saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think Jesus said it on the cross. I am not real good at this sort of stuff, but they were the two prayers that I said while I was being attacked in the pack rat, the two prayers that I said. And I didn't say them quietly. I said it to them, and I said it loud. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And I said it, and I said it often and louder and louder. Of course, they hit me harder and harder, and that's why I was strangled, because they were trying to shut me up, but I wasn't going to stop. And yet again, I'm not a religious person. I don't believe I am at all. But in times of need, we need to go to where we go. So that little time at primary school, when I went to church, when I did the Sunday school, maybe that's what I needed. My mum wasn't religious in any way, shape or form. And it's probably the religious my father was. He was a choir boy in one of the churches. But the reality was, mum wanted to make sure I had, or the family had, the opportunity to test out different things, to have a look at different things, to experience different things. So I thank mum for that. I didn't stay in the church. I did go a little bit at when I was in a teenager, and I did a little bit of youth. I did a bit of youth stuff. But yeah, that again, that didn't last too long either. But it's about being open and understanding, and that's what I liked about it. It allowed me to get an understanding of that side of things without having to, you know, necessarily go all that way into it. So because I had that little bit of background, when I first started doing spirituality and looking in that side of it, there was a lot of hoo-ha that, you know, oh, you're going that way. You know, you're either a hippie or you're a druggie or you're a this, you're a that. You know, you get labelled. So the only thing that I could see at that particular time that was acceptable was angels. So I started doing a lot with angels, and I did an angels workshop. That's where I learned to do a flower reading. And since then, I now do flower reading courses, so you can learn how to do flower readings. And I've done that in three different ways. So there's live flowers, there's flower images, and there's flower drawings. So your intuition is actually drawing them, and then you read them. So it's amazing. But angels was my first go-to. It allowed me to safely, comfortably, it suited me, go that way to create a stronger, independent me. And like I said, as a teenager, I was obviously always into it, because like a teenager I did the Ouija board, but I always knew when things were happening, like with home, I was always picking up stuff. And not really aware of what it was doing. In fact, I used to wonder why my sisters couldn't understand it. You know, like I'd leave school and go, oh, mum's in a bad mood. They just didn't get it. And I'm thinking, how do you not get it? Like, it's so obvious. But, yeah, anyway, it wasn't until 10 minutes later when we got home from school that they all saw that mum was in a bad mood, and then I'd get into trouble. So, like, it was my fault. But anyway, so angels was really, really good. I really enjoyed that. We had a chat with Melly again, and Melly's written a book, and it's called Stages of Self. And she goes through this, and she has the princess, the mother, the wild woman, the dark queen, and the sorceress, I think. Anyway, there's those stages of self. Now, although you go through these stages of self, you're also cycling these stages of self. So you may be in your wild woman stage, but you can still behave like a princess every now and again. And she goes through the positives and negatives of each of those stages. You know, you can tell when your child or when your friend's at a particular stage because of the way they're behaving or what they're doing. And so we look at those. So you can be in your sorceress, or you can be in your dark queen. And your dark queen's when you're sort of in the cave and you're just sort of trying to get an understanding of who you are and what you're doing. You know that there's more to life, and you're trying to get that understanding. While you're in your dark cave, you can still behave like a princess, or you can still nurture like a mother, or you can still go a little bit crazy like the wild woman. So it's lovely how we can go through those. And if you are starting to behave like a princess, there's ways of saying, okay, well, this is what you're doing and this is what you need to do. So a princess needs to turn into a mother. So stop being demanding and start being a little bit more nurturing. And then go from there. So we go from obviously nurturing with a mother, and then the wild woman is like, no, give yourself a bit of time. Start looking after yourself, not just everyone else. So we're going through these little stages of our lives. And they happen like chronologically as an age thing, and they can also happen as a cyclic thing. So it's really interesting talking to Melly. Look up mellys.com.au. You'll love it. She does a lot of card readings as well, a lot around the stages of self book. So really, really good. Who else did we talk to? We talked to Darlene. Now, you know what was really special about Darlene? And I'm not going to go too much longer because I'm getting low on time. I just wanted to celebrate and let you know what we've been through for the last 12 months, because it's been quite amazing. From me standing there reading and going, this is what intuition is, to me sitting here like I am today, blubbering on and loving it. But Darlene, why I liked, really liked Darlene, everybody else I'd spoken to had their own small business or a business they were developing. Darlene didn't. Darlene was from Canada, or is from Canada. She had nothing to sell. She had everything to share. 40 years as a nurse, she had seen a lot, as you can imagine, and knew that there was other things to it. So she talked about how she first understood her spirituality and what that meant and how she went forward. And she was amazing to talk to, absolutely amazing. And you know what I really liked about it? She just was so happy to talk about what she'd experienced. And it wasn't to sell, which is what the intentions of this podcast was at the beginning. It wasn't to sell, it was just to share. And I love it when they come on and they've got something to sell. They've got something to sell, but they're happy to share in order to sell. Then there's others that, they're probably a little bit more on the selling side. But anyway, we're getting there and we're getting a better understanding of it. And, of course, Sylvia, don't forget Sylvia, who talked about past life regression. Oh, you've got to listen to that one, because I actually did that past life regression with her. So that was a real, really interesting, because it really showed you the difference between me as an amateur doing past life regression in a meditation and her as a professional doing past life meditation as a but she is a professional, and so she took me through this past life regression. The difference was really amazing. The difference was she knew when to stop or when to keep going. When you're doing a meditation, you don't know. You just do it because you're either getting a recorded meditation or you just sort of come out and think, oh, shit, what's going on? So, yeah, there's those sort of elements. So to have a look at the past 12 months, have a listen. Tell me the crappy ones, I'll redo them. Tell me the good ones and we'll promote them. I just wanted to celebrate our last 12 months, celebrate by creating the new branding, which we're going through. The poor old website's still struggling along, but we'll get there. And celebrate these lovely last 12 months that I've been able to share part of my life and my guest's life, share intuition, what it's about, how we can do it, and the spirituality. I have been so honored to have the ability to share that, and I intend to keep going. And I just wanted to thank you. I just really wanted to thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making this feel as special as it does for me. So I am Susan Jane. Subscribe if that's what you have to do on the podcast. I don't really care. I just want to make sure I'm doing what I need to do, and that is to be giving as much as I can give as freely as possible. That's what I love doing, and helping. Got to be helping. All right, guys, you take care. Have a great night and or day or wherever it is, and I will talk to you next week. I'm going to get some more guests on too. Sorry, I have sort of wheels have fallen off a little bit, sorry, because of the branding. More guests coming. All right, bye for now. Have a great night.